The morning light settles over the slopes of Mount Pelée, revealing ridges carved by eruptions that shaped the island long before the first canoe reached its shores. Steam rises in thin threads from warm ground along the trail, a quiet reminder that the forces beneath the Caribbean have never fully rested. Researchers walk across hardened ash fields, collecting fragments that tell stories reaching back millions of years. Each layer marks a moment when rising magma changed the shape of an island and altered the lives of the people who lived there. Across the Lesser Antilles, these mountains of fire built coastlines, broke them apart, and created narrow passages that guided travel between islands. Ancient communities learned to read the signs of rumbling earth and shifting smoke. They shaped their settlements around the rhythm of eruptions, moving when the land warned them and returning when the soil turned rich again. The question that follows is simple. How did these fires beneath the sea give rise to the map of cultures, paths, and fields that formed the early Caribbean world? Chapter 1, The Birth of Islands. The trail leading up the western flank of Mount Pelée holds a quiet heat that settles under the shoes of the research team. It is early morning in the present day. Mist clings to the upper ridge as sunlight pushes over the horizon. The landscape here carries the marks of eruptions that shaped the island long before recorded memory. Rocks broken by ancient blasts sit beside younger flows that cooled only a few thousand years ago. Every step reflects the long history of fire beneath the Caribbean Sea. Geologists who work on these slopes know that Pelée is only one point along a vast system. The Lesser Antilles curve from Grenada to Suba in a long chain that outlines the place where two enormous plates meet. The Caribbean plate moves slowly westward, while the North American plate slides underneath it. That downward motion creates a subduction zone. Deep in that zone, old ocean crust heats, melts, and sends magma rising toward the surface. Over millions of years, repeated eruptions built mountains above the sea. Some rose high enough to break the water and become islands. Others stayed hidden underwater as unnamed peaks. When the team measures the ground temperature along the ridge, they see small changes from season to season. The data is slow to shift, but it tells a long story. Heat from the mantle rises through weak points in the crust. The crust bends and fractures from constant pressure. Magma fills those fractures, cools, and forms new layers of rock. Over time, those layers become cliffs, valleys, and wide slopes. This long building process gives the Caribbean a unique landscape that runs from soft beaches to steep volcanic peaks. To understand how these islands were born, the research team begins with the deep timeline. Around 50 million years ago, the Caribbean plate and its neighbors moved into a new relationship. Ocean crust pushed downward under the Caribbean plate at a steady rate. As that crust descended, water trapped in minerals was released. This water lowered the melting point of the surrounding mantle. The mantle partially melted and formed magma. The magma rose through cracks and settled in chambers beneath the surface. When the pressure inside these chambers grew strong enough, it forced the crust upward. Over many cycles, that push created the foundation of the Lesser Antilles Arc. The earliest islands in this arc were not the same ones seen today. Some eroded away, others were buried under later volcanic layers. The landscape changed with each eruption. Where a crater collapsed, new peaks formed. Where a lava dome grew, the coastline expanded. Volcanic arcs are not static features. They are constantly reshaped by the forces that created them. On a field table near the ridge, the researchers place samples of volcanic rock gathered from different elevations. Each rock tells part of the island's story. Basalt, a dark and dense stone, forms where magma reaches the surface quickly. Andesite, lighter and more complex, forms when magma stays underground longer and melts surrounding rock before reaching the air. Some samples show thin bands of minerals that cooled slowly in a deep chamber. Others show the rough, bubbly texture of lava that cooled in open air. These layers help the team map the island across time. In one section near the trail, the rocks belong to a flow nearly 1 million years old. Higher up, younger andesite domes formed less than 30,000 years ago. Toward the summit, deposits from the eruption of 1902 show how quickly an island can change in a human lifetime. By reading these layers, researchers build a record that stretches back long before any memory or oral history. The Caribbean Arc is not only a chain of peaks, it is also a long record of explosive force. When magma rises thick and slow, it traps gas. The pressure builds until a release becomes inevitable. When that release occurs, ash, rock, and gas blast outward. These eruptions can reshape coastlines and create new land. They can also remove entire sections of mountains. The steep cliffs seen on many islands are the result of ancient collapse events. In some places, huge blocks slid into the sea and formed underwater debris fields that extend for miles. These hidden features show that the islands were built not through calm, steady growth, but through cycles of creation and destruction. To understand how ancient people first encountered these landscapes, the researchers turned to the early archaeological timeline. The first known communities in the Caribbean arrived around 6,000 years ago. They came by sea from the South American mainland. At that time, the islands had already gone through many eruption cycles. Some islands were stable when the first settlers arrived. Others still showed signs of active volcanic pressure. Steaming vents, warm ground, and strange mineral springs would have been part of the first impressions left on these early travelers. The earliest arrivals likely followed coastlines and currents that linked island to island. What they found depended on the stage of each island's volcanic life. An island with long, dormant peaks offered broad valleys and calm slopes. An island that had recently erupted displayed ash fields, fresh rock, and deep ravines. These differences mattered for travel and settlement. Calm coasts made landing easier. Rich soil made early gardening possible. Steep, sharp flows limited movement inland. The shape of each island guided how communities moved and where they chose to stay. Volcanoes also created natural markers across the region. High peaks served as visual guides for travelers moving between islands. The arc of summits from St. Lucia to Dominica created a recognizable skyline. Navigators in small canoes could track their position by watching these peaks rise or fall along the horizon. Long before modern tools, the mountains built by eruptions became waypoints for human movement. Along the slopes of Palais, the research team stops at a section where old pyroclastic deposits reveal the violence of a past eruption. The deposits contain fragments of pumice, volcanic glass, and compressed ash. These materials came from pyroclastic flows that move down the mountain at high speed. Such flows are dense, hot, and destructive. They flatten forests and reshape valleys. The landscape left behind is raw and unstable at first, but over time, plants take hold. Rainwater breaks down ash into soil rich in minerals. This new soil begins the cycle that will matter deeply in later chapters. But here the focus stays on the geological process alone. The team collects small samples to examine grain size and mineral content. These details help determine the strength of past eruptions. Larger grains suggest a more forceful expulsion. Finer ash indicates a higher blast column that carried material far into the air before dropping it across the island. By reading these patterns, the researchers learn how often each region was reshaped by eruptive force. Some islands show frequent small eruptions. Others show long, quiet periods broken by rare but powerful events. The physical shape of the Caribbean Arc also influenced how early communities entered the region. The arc forms a long barrier between the Atlantic Ocean and the Caribbean Sea. Strong trade winds blow from east to west. Migrants arriving by sea encountered these winds as part of their journey. Islands formed by volcanic peaks created breakpoints where travelers could rest or regroup. These islands stood as stepping stones across the region. The higher the peaks, the easier they were to see from a distance. Even in rough conditions, the mountains built by volcanic activity helped guide migration. Far back in time, before the Caribbean held its current form, the movement of plates had not yet created the arc as it is known today. The seafloor was rising in some places and sinking in others. Volcanoes erupted underwater and created small seamounts that were later buried or eroded. Only when the subduction zone became stable did the long arc of islands start to emerge. This process took millions of years. The first human travelers saw only the final stage of that slow construction. They arrived on islands already shaped by countless eruptions. When the research team maps the distribution of volcanoes across the arc, they see patterns that match modern hazards. Islands like Dominica, St. Vincent, and Montserrat have multiple active or dormant systems. Others, like Barbados, lie outside the Arc and have no volcanoes. This difference created distinct environments for early settlers. On volcanic islands, steep terrain and rugged coastlines challenged travel. On non-volcanic islands, the land was flatter and easier to cross. These contrasts influenced where the first communities placed their villages and how they moved between regions. Near the summit of Palay, the team reaches an overlook where the full arc becomes visible on a clear day. To the north, peaks rise from Martinique toward Dominica. To the south, St. Lucia's twin pitons stand above the sea. Each mountain marks a place where magma once rose through the crust and broke into the air. From this vantage point, the arc resembles a long chain of sentinels guarding the eastern edge of the Caribbean Sea. It is easy to see how these peaks would have shaped ancient travel decisions. The team reviews a series of core samples taken from the slopes. These samples show a repeating sequence of ash, lava, and erosion layers. The sequence is typical of many volcanic islands. Ash falls cover the land. Rain washes the ash into valleys. Plants grow in the new soil. Lava flows then cover parts of the landscape and reset the cycle. Over thousands of years, these cycles build the complex terrain now seen across the Caribbean. Valleys, plateaus, fertile pockets, and hard ridges all come from the interaction of fire, water, and time. In the lower elevations of some islands, erosion carved out spaces that became natural harbors. These harbors formed when volcanic rock broke down unevenly. Softer rock weathered quickly, while harder flows held their shape. The result was a coastline marked by inlets and coves. Such features helped early communities land their canoes safely. In later centuries, these same harbors became anchors for trade and travel. But in ancient times, they simply provided a safe entry point to a new land. The role of volcanic activity in shaping freshwater availability also becomes clear in the geological record. Cracked volcanic rock allows water to filter through the ground. Springs form where underground water meets an impermeable layer. These springs often appear near the base of volcanic slopes. Early settlers relied on these freshwater sources. On islands with fewer volcanic features, water was harder to find. Rainwater collection and small streams became more important. The distribution of freshwater shaped early settlement patterns long before agriculture began. As the team descends the mountain, they follow a path that moves through sections of the island formed at different times. In one area, thick ash deposits still crumble easily underfoot. In another area, hardened lava forms jagged ridges. Farther down, smooth stones line a dry riverbed. These stones once tumbled through fast-moving volcanic mudflows called lahars. Lahars occur when heavy rain mobilizes loose ash and rock. They move through valleys and reshape river channels. Even in dry seasons, the marks of these flows remain visible. The geological story is not complete without the deeper context of plate movement. The Caribbean plate is surrounded by larger plates that influence its shape. To the north and east lies the North American plate. To the south lies the South American plate. Their slow movement over millions of years created the boundaries where volcanoes form. In some areas, the plates grind past each other without creating volcanoes. In others, one plate sinks under the other and forms the conditions for magma production. The Lesser Antilles represent one of the clearest examples of a volcanic arc built by subduction. The research team ends the day at a coastal outcropping where old lava meets the sea. The rock here cooled quickly when it reached the water. It cracked into sharp pieces that still bear the marks of rapid cooling. Waves break against these stones, wearing them down grain by grain. The coastline gradually shifts as erosion continues its slow work. This scene captures the ongoing balance between creation and destruction. Volcanoes build the islands upward. Waves wear them down. The Caribbean landscape remains in motion even when the volcanoes are quiet. In the final review of their field notes, the team considers the link between the land they studied and the earliest people who reached these shores. Though those first travelers did not know the deep geological processes, they understood the land in a practical way. They saw the steep peaks. They recognized the valleys carved by ancient flows. They learned which coastal areas were stable and which slopes were too fresh to trust. Their decisions about where to land, where to move, and where to settle were guided by the shape of islands built by fire. What remains is a question that leads forward. How did these dramatic landscapes influence the movement of communities and the meanings they attached to the mountains around them? The geological foundation is clear. The next story belongs to the people who crossed the sea and learned to live with these forces. Chapter 2, People, Paths, and the Language of Fire. The first movements of people into the Caribbean tell a story shaped not just by ocean currents and stars, but by the landforms created by volcanoes across the Lesser Antilles. Thousands of years before written records, early travelers navigated narrow channels between islands and learned to judge the shape of the coast before deciding where to land. Many of the choices they made came from reading the land itself. Volcanic peaks showed direction. Calm slopes invited settlement. Ash fields and steaming cliffs signaled caution. These early decisions formed the paths that later communities followed as they moved through the region. Archaeologists studying these routes begin with evidence that spreads from Trinidad to the Northern Islands. The earliest known groups, often called Ortoroid communities, entered the region around 6,000 years ago. They traveled in small groups using dugout canoes carved from softwood. As they moved northward, they encountered a chain of islands that rose from the sea in a long arc. These islands were created by volcanic activity and stood taller than many other islands in the region. High peaks made them visible from far away. This visibility mattered. Navigators could track their progress by watching how the peaks shifted on the horizon. The first encounters with volcanic islands were likely cautious. Some islands showed calm surfaces, with long dormant peaks and broad river valleys. Others displayed signs of recent activity. Warm springs flowed from hillsides. Steam rose from cracks in the ground. Small earthquakes shook the slopes. Early travelers would have noticed these signs long before they understood the forces beneath them. They learned by experience, where the land seemed stable and where it carried a quiet tension. As these groups settled and moved from island to island, their choices reflected practical needs. A coastline shaped by old lava flows offered natural landing points. Freshwater springs near volcanic slopes provided reliable water. Valleys created by erosion offered shelter from storms. But active volcanoes also imposed uncertainty. An island that seemed livable one season could change quickly after an eruption. This reality shaped how ancient communities built their villages and how they adapted when the land forced them to move. On the island of St. Vincent, researchers have uncovered layers of ash that lie directly above early settlement floors. These layers show that people once lived in areas later disrupted by eruptions. The ash layers are easy to identify. They contain fine grains of volcanic material that differ sharply from the soil used in daily life. In some sites, the ash lies a few inches thick. In others, it reaches deeper levels, showing that multiple eruptions affected the same region over time. Every layer marks a moment when people had to decide whether to remain or relocate. One site on St. Vincent reveals a settlement that appears to have been abandoned after a significant ash fall. The hearths, tools, and food remains beneath the ash suggest daily life was underway when the eruption struck. People moved quickly, leaving behind items that would have normally been carried. The ash sealed these objects, preserving a record of an interrupted moment. Such discoveries offer a clear view into how volcanic activity shaped human decisions. When an eruption came without warning, people adapted by shifting their settlements to safer ground, sometimes returning decades later when the land stabilized. Dominica provides another example of this relationship between land and movement. Dominica holds more volcanic centers than many other islands in the arc. Its interior is rugged and steep. Rivers cut deep into the land. Steam vents and hot springs appear in valleys and along mountain slopes. Early communities likely settled first along the coast, where beaches and river mouths offered easier access. As populations grew, some groups moved inland, but the rugged terrain limited how far they could go. When volcanic activity intensified in certain areas, these communities changed location again. Archaeological surveys show clusters of sites that shift over time, suggesting a pattern of movement tied to eruptions and environmental changes. The Kalingo Territory in modern Dominica holds living memory and oral history tied to mountains and volcanic forces. While the chapter avoids modern interpretations, it acknowledges that long-standing cultural connections remain. Ancient communities across the region likely held similar views about the land. Volcanoes commanded respect. Peaks tied to eruptions became places of warning and meaning. When smoke rose from a summit or when the ground trembled, people interpreted these signs within their cultural understanding of the world. These interpretations helped guide decisions about where to farm, where to build, and when to move. Though these ancient interpretations varied from island to island, certain patterns appear across the evidence. Oral traditions in early Caribbean cultures often associated mountains with spirits or forces tied to the earth. These traditions likely grew from long observation of natural events. A mountain that rumbled sent a message. A peak that glowed red at night marked danger. Thick ash fall that covered gardens or fishing paths was seen as a sign that the land needed to be respected, and that those living nearby needed to adjust their place within it. Archaeological work in Grenada gives another view into the interplay between people and volcanoes. Grenada is known today for its lush terrain, but beneath the soil lies a complex volcanic history. One part of that history includes Kikimjeni, a submarine volcano just north of the island. Although it lies underwater, it has influenced the surrounding region for thousands of years. Underwater eruptions can cause changes in fish behavior, water clarity, and coastal conditions. These changes would have been noticed by ancient fishers. When Kikimjeni stirred, it may have affected where people fished or how they navigated around the island. On land, ash from older eruptions is preserved in soil layers across Grenada. These ash layers match periods when settlement patterns shifted. Some villages that once thrived along certain ridges were abandoned after ashfall made the land temporarily unsafe or unproductive. When conditions improved, later settlements appeared in different parts of the island. This cycle shows how volcanic events pushed communities to adapt rather than remain fixed in one place. It also shows how closely people watched the land for signs of change. As people moved across the region, they carried knowledge from island to island. By the time the Salidoid communities arrived around 2,500 years ago, migration routes had become more established. These travelers brought pottery styles, agricultural techniques, and new forms of community structure. They also brought stories and observations about the land. When they reached volcanic islands, they applied the knowledge gained from earlier groups. They knew to avoid fresh ash fields. They recognized patterns in river flow that suggested past eruptions. They chose settlement areas close to water but away from steep slopes that could collapse in a heavy rain. Their pottery shards, found across many islands, show how widely they moved. On islands like Antigua, which lacks active volcanoes, their settlements grew steadily. But on islands with active volcanic centers, their movement shows greater variation. They placed villages in areas with good soil and steady water, but they avoided zones that showed signs of recent instability. Over centuries, these decisions created a landscape of settlements that reflected both opportunity and caution. Each community read the land in its own way, but all understood the need to respect forces that lay beneath the surface. When archaeologists dig into ancient village sites across Montserrat, the pattern is even clearer. Montserrat's Soufrière Hills volcano has erupted many times in the deep past. While the modern eruption of 1995 is well known, earlier eruptions also left marks in the archaeological record. Layers of ash and pumice lie between cultural layers in several sites. In some cases, ash appears directly above floors and hearths. In other cases, ash falls lightly over older soil and shows that the eruption affected the region but did not force complete abandonment. These layers help scholars understand which events were small enough for people to stay and which were large enough to force relocation. These shifts are not random. Over long periods, people learned which valleys flooded during heavy ashfall. They learned which slopes remained stable during earthquakes. They learned where the ground stayed warm after an eruption and how long that warmth lasted. Knowledge passed between generations. When the land changed, people changed with it. The natural world shaped their paths, and their understanding of that world shaped their responses. One notable example comes from a site in northern Dominica where a village appears to have been rebuilt several times in the same general area. Each rebuilding followed an interval marked by ashfall. the thickness of each ash layer varies. The earliest layer is thick and dense, suggesting a major eruption. The community abandoned the site afterward. Decades or centuries later, people returned to the same valley and built new structures on top of the old ones. Later, ash layers are thinner, showing smaller eruptions. After these events, people did not abandon the site entirely, but instead adjusted how and where they built their homes. This pattern shows both the risks of living near active volcanoes and the strong incentive to return because the land remained valuable. Ancient interpretations of volcanoes were not simply warnings. They were part of a larger understanding of the Caribbean environment. In some communities, mountains associated with eruptions became part of rituals or seasonal practices. Peaks shaped by centuries of volcanic activity stood above villages as reminders of both danger and renewal. When smoke rose from a summit or when ash drifted across the sky, these events carried meaning within the community. The meaning belonged to the people who lived close to the land and observed it daily. Across the Caribbean, contrasts between islands with active volcanic systems and those with quieter landscapes shaped different ways of life. Islands outside the volcanic arc, such as Barbados or parts of the Bahamas, lacked the steep peaks and rugged interior of volcanic islands. Communities on those islands often built settlements deeper inland because the terrain was easier to navigate. Freshwater sources were different as well. Without volcanic rock to guide water into springs, people relied on rainwater and shallow aquifers. These environmental differences affected everything from travel routes to food gathering practices. On volcanic islands, however, the terrain demanded constant attention. Early farmers worked small plots along riverbanks or on gentle slopes. Fishers used beaches formed by erosion of volcanic rock. Hunters moved through valleys created by ancient flows. All these movements depended on understanding how the land shifted over time. When an eruption altered the landscape, the people moved with it. Their settlements reflect this adaptive approach. Villages persisted in some regions for long periods, while others were occupied only briefly before a major eruption forced a shift. Archaeologists studying these movements sometimes find pottery styles that appear only in short layers of soil before disappearing. The disappearance often coincides with a visible ash layer. This pattern suggests that communities either moved away or reorganized after an eruption. When the land stabilized, later groups returned, but their cultural markers were different. These shifts show how natural events influence cultural change. The ancient interpretations of volcanoes also influenced how people talked about time. Events were remembered in relation to mountains, storms, and changes in the land. A major eruption became a reference point for when a journey began or when a community divided. Even without written records, memory structures tied to natural events helped preserve history across generations. The movement of people across the islands became linked to the movement of the land itself. On St. Lucia, the Pitons rise as steep volcanic spires that have shaped the island's identity for centuries. Long before modern visitors recognized their beauty, ancient communities saw them as markers of stability. These peaks did not erupt in recorded memory, but their shape came from ancient volcanic activity. People used them as guides for travel and as fixed points for navigation. In contrast, areas near the island's geothermal fields showed signs of heat and chemical-rich springs. These features may have carried spiritual meaning. They also indicated that the land beneath the surface was still active. Modern researchers studying ancient Caribbean sites often work with local knowledge holders to understand how landscapes influence cultural interpretation. Many ancient understandings of volcanoes were tied to respect for the land and its rhythms. When the earth shook or when smoke appeared over the horizon, people treated these moments with caution. Movement patterns reflect this caution. Villages were often placed where the land seemed quietest. When activity increased, people moved toward areas with more stable ground. While these early interpretations varied widely, they shared one principle. The land sent messages, and those messages mattered. By reading the signs of volcanic activity, ancient peoples shaped their own paths across the Caribbean. They learned where to travel, where to build, and when to leave. These decisions created patterns of movement that lasted for generations. As Chapter 2 comes to a close, the record shows a clear link between volcanic forces and human experience. The islands shaped by fire influenced where people went and how they understood their place in the world. They developed stories, practices, and ways of reading the land that helped them survive in a region defined by powerful natural forces. What follows is the next step in the story. After understanding how people moved and interpreted the land, the question shifts to how they used the land to sustain themselves. Volcanic ash created more than danger. It created soil that fed communities and allowed early agriculture to grow strong roots across the islands. Chapter 3, Soil, Survival, and the Quiet Power of Ash. The strength of Caribbean agriculture began in the soil. That soil came from the ash, pumice, and broken rock that volcanoes spread across the islands long before the first farm plot existed. When volcanic material breaks down, it forms a rich mix of minerals that supports plant growth. Iron, calcium, potassium, and other nutrients come from the weathered fragments of old eruptions. Rain and time complete the process. By the period when early communities began to cultivate crops, the land in many volcanic islands offered fertile ground that made their work possible. The roots of early agriculture in the Caribbean begin with simple observations. People noticed that some valleys produced stronger plants than others. They learned that areas covered by older ash supported larger harvests. They saw that land near rivers carried soil washed down from higher slopes. They also saw that soil freshly covered by ash needed years before it could be used again. These patterns shaped the decisions of early farmers. They understood that the land carried cycles of destruction and renewal. Their challenge was to work within those cycles. Archaeological studies across islands like Dominica, St. Vincent, and Montserrat show the same pattern. Soil layers in ancient fields contain volcanic grains mixed with organic material. These grains come from eruptions that happened long before the fields were planted. Radiocarbon dates from charcoal fragments help establish when farming began in each area. In many cases, farming follows an eruption by several generations. This gap shows how long it takes for ash to break down and form productive soil. It also shows the patience of early communities who understood that land must recover before it can feed people. Early farmers worked with crops that adapted well to volcanic soil. Cassava is one of the most important examples. It grows in a range of conditions and tolerates poor soil, but it thrives in mineral-rich land. The tuber stores nutrients drawn from the soil and forms a reliable food source. Sweet potato also performed well in volcanic soil. Its vines spread along the surface and send roots into loose, fertile ground. Tania and yam followed similar patterns. Together, these crops formed the foundation of early Caribbean agriculture. On volcanic islands, farmers built their gardens on slopes where erosion carried ash into lower areas. These slopes were not always gentle. Some rose sharply, shaped by ancient lava flows. To manage steep land, early farmers created small terraces. They placed stones along the edges to hold soil in place. Over time, these terraces developed into productive plots where water moved slowly and soil stayed rich. Terrace farming appears in archaeological evidence as lines of stones arranged across hillsides. These stones match the contours of the land and show how people worked with natural shapes rather than against them. In some regions, water management became essential. Volcanic islands receive heavy rainfall. Without careful planning, that water can wash soil away. Early farmers learned to direct water through small channels. These channels moved runoff into areas where it could support crops without eroding the land. Researchers have identified ancient channels in places where soft volcanic soil still holds the shape of their paths. These channels show that early communities understood how to work with volcanic terrain in ways that preserved soil rather than losing it to rainfall. The relationship between volcanic soil and settlement patterns becomes clear in the archaeological record. Villages often formed near valleys with deep, fertile land. These valleys were created by erosion of volcanic slopes. When the ash and rock broke down, they produced soil that supported consistent harvests. Settling near these areas made daily work easier. Farmers did not need to travel far to reach their gardens. They could also monitor the condition of the land and adjust their practices when needed. Not all volcanic landscapes offered the same opportunities. Some slopes were too steep or too unstable to support agriculture. Others were covered by young lava flows that had not yet broken into soil. Communities avoided these areas for farming, but sometimes used them for hunting or gathering. Volcanic cliffs created habitats for wildlife. Coastal areas formed by ancient flows provided fishing points. Each part of the landscape offered something different. People learned to use what was available and avoid what could not sustain daily life. Over centuries, communities developed patterns that matched the movement of the land. When an eruption covered fertile fields in ash, people shifted their gardens to another valley. When the old fields regained their strength, they returned. This rotation created a long-term cycle of soil use. Archaeological evidence shows that some fields were used for centuries, abandoned after an eruption, and then reused by later groups. The layers of soil tell this story. Dark layers show periods of cultivation. Light, sandy layers show ash fall. Together, they build a timeline of how communities adapted to the rhythm of volcanic activity. One site in the northern Lesser Antilles shows fields that expanded and contracted over generations. Researchers mapped terraces and soil layers across a wide hillside. They found that some terraces were buried under ash and rebuilt later. Others remained untouched by the eruption and continued to be used. This variation shows how people monitored which parts of the land were safe to farm and which needed time to heal. They did not simply abandon fields when conditions changed. They watched for signs of recovery and returned when the soil became productive again. In regions with multiple volcanic centers, such as Dominica, people had more options for land use. If one valley became unsafe, another might remain stable. Over time, communities developed a deep understanding of the landscape. They learned where rivers shifted after eruptions. They learned where soil collected after heavy rain. They learned which slopes were likely to collapse during earthquakes. This knowledge shaped not only where they farmed, but also how they built homes and storage areas. Houses were often placed on flat ridges above agricultural zones. Storage pits were dug in areas where the ground remained cool and dry. Agriculture also influenced social structure. Communities that lived near fertile volcanic soil could support larger populations. Larger harvests allowed for more stable food supplies. Stable supplies allowed for specialization of labor. Pottery, woodworking, and navigation skills developed in these communities. Trade routes formed between islands. Volcanic islands with productive soil often became important centers of activity. The strength of their agriculture helped them maintain long-term settlements. Soil fertility also influenced rituals and cultural practices. In some regions, people held ceremonies linked to planting and harvest cycles. These ceremonies may have included acknowledgments of the land and the forces that shaped it. Though the exact details vary between islands, the connection between farming and respect for the land appears consistently across the archaeological and oral record. The soil that sustained communities came from forces beyond their control. Recognizing that connection helped shape how they approached the land. In several islands, researchers found tools used specifically for tending volcanic soil. Stone hoes and digging sticks appear in ancient fields. Their shapes vary depending on the type of soil they were used in. Tools made for deep, loose soil differ from those used in compacted areas. These variations show how farmers adapted their methods to the conditions created by volcanic activity. They understood the needs of the land and developed tools that matched those needs. In some coastal regions formed by old lava flows, early communities created gardens in pockets where soil collected between rocks. These gardens grew slowly but provided a steady source of food. The combination of volcanic stone and rich organic material created unique microenvironments. These pockets show how people found opportunities even in challenging landscapes. Their ability to adapt to volcanic terrain helped shape the cultural and agricultural traditions that followed. The long-term impact of volcanic soil on Caribbean agriculture becomes clearer when looking at how settlement clusters formed. Many of the densest clusters appear near valleys where volcanic ash accumulated. These clusters often include multiple generations of dwellings, storage areas, and fields. The pattern suggests that fertile land was a major factor in determining where people chose to live. Even when eruptions disrupted these areas, communities returned after the land regained its strength. As centuries passed, population distribution across the islands reflected the landscape carved by volcanoes. Islands with multiple fertile valleys supported larger and more complex settlements. Islands with narrow, steep terrain supported smaller communities with more mobility. These differences influenced how people traded, traveled, and interacted with neighboring islands. The map of ancient Caribbean life formed around the map of volcanic land. Archaeological indicators of long-term agricultural adaptation appear in the soil chemistry itself. Volcanic soil contains minerals that remain stable over long periods. When fields are used repeatedly, organic material builds up and changes the chemical signature of the soil. Researchers can detect these changes thousands of years later. Soil from ancient fields often contains increased levels of phosphorus and charcoal, showing that people enriched the land through controlled burning and organic waste. These practices complement the natural fertility of volcanic soil and show how early farmers worked with geological processes to improve their harvests. The synthesis of volcano and human life becomes most visible when all lines of evidence are brought together. The landscape shaped by eruptions created the conditions for settlement. The soil shaped by ash created the conditions for agriculture. The peaks shaped by volcanic pressure created the markers for navigation. The valleys carved by erosion created the paths for movement. The entire region reflects a partnership between land and people. Neither existed in isolation. Over generations, communities built a way of life that respected the forces that formed the islands. As the chapter draws toward its close, the perspective returns to the present day. The same volcanic forces that shaped ancient life continue to influence the modern Caribbean. Farmers still work in soil created by old eruptions. Slopes still carry terraces built long ago. Springs still flow where volcanic rock directs water through the ground. The land still sends messages through rumbling peaks and shifting ground. People still read these signs, just as their ancestors did. The final reflection comes from standing on a hillside where ancient terraces meet modern gardens. The stones placed by hands from an earlier age still hold the soil. New crops grow where old ones once stood. Volcanoes built this land through fire and ash. Communities shaped it through work and patience. Together, they formed a map that carries the history of both Earth and humanity. As the series ends, one question remains open. What can be learned from the people who lived with these forces in the past, and how can that knowledge guide those who live in the path of volcanoes today?